Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Coming up in 15 minutes, a call in for parents on how you're being asked to pay out of pocket for public school budget cuts. Coming up tomorrow on the show, Jimmy Carter. Right now, a quarter of adults in the United States consume news on at least two digital devices. Does that sound like you? Call us up and tell us about your mobile media diet, 212-433-WNYC. If you've joined the 40% of adults who have smartphones or the 20% who own tablets, tell us how you consume news and how you choose what you read, watch, or listen to. Do you reply on an app to aggregate info? Do you just read whatever your friends on Facebook suggest or people tweet you links to? Or do you primarily go to your old trusted news brands? 212-433-WNYC or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, the Pew Center's annual report on the state of the news media is out, and it's largely about this. So as your calls are coming in, Amy Mitchell, Deputy Director of the Pew Center's Project for Excellence in Journalism, joins us to talk about what they found. Amy, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Does it follow that the more digital devices you have, the more news you consume? Is it an additive thing?
That's what we're seeing, is that in many cases, in most of the cases, when people get in the new device, the smartphone or the tablet, they're starting to get news there, but they're still getting news in their own digital realms as well. The vast majority of those who get news on a mobile device are still doing so on a laptop or desktop computer.
And you found the trusted news brands are still driving people, more so than your friends on Facebook or the people you follow on Twitter and the links they send you?
Yeah, it was quite interesting. When we asked people how they got to the news stories on these different devices, the leading way that people do this is by going directly to the news organization's website or its application. More so than search, more so than the aggregator, organizer kind of apps, and far more than following social media recommendations.
So that's good for the traditional news outlets?
Well, it does suggest a strengthening of the bond between these organizations and their consumers and their audiences. The question comes down to how you monetize that into some revenue that's going to help support the reporting that's being done.
Because ad prices for online or mobile are a fraction of print ads. And so even though they're getting more eyeballs in some cases than ever before on major news organization sites, more than they ever had just reading the newspaper or watching the TV channel, it's actually harder to keep up revenue-wise, right?
Exactly. And we also see in another aspect of this report that the technology, the big technology companies are actually strengthening their grip on that revenue side. You now have five technology companies accounting for almost 70% of the online ad revenue.
So more battles to come between major news organizations and Google, for example, over who gets to benefit when people read a New York Times article or an ABC News article or an NPR article?
Well, either more battles to come or ways to find partnerships where both can benefit. Another trend over the last year is these technology companies wanting to be able to provide a wider swath of services to their audiences, of trying to be sort of the everythings. And news is something people are getting throughout the course of the day. So being able to provide that news is one element of being a service to audiences. And we've seen more partnerships, whether it's Facebook partnering with the Washington Post and others, or the Reuters producing news for YouTube, more partnerships between original news producers and technology companies.
How does that work, for example? What's the business model there? How does the Washington Post and Facebook, how do they both make money off the reader?
Well, it's all, I mean, each partnership is going to be a little bit different at this point. So there's not really one set model. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, it's the technology company is benefiting more financially than the news organization. But for example, in the Reuters deal. YouTube was giving out a kind of like a grant money for organizations to produce news content for them, news video content for them. So they're getting their costs paid for to be able to produce this content and have a presence. On the Facebook Washington Post, it works a little bit differently, and it's quite complicated. You know, Facebook, for the most part, controls all of the advertising that's in the margins of anybody's Facebook's page. And so now they've given back some of that territory to the Washington Post and the others to have a piece of that advertising pie.
Amy Mitchell is with us, Deputy Director of the Pew Center's Project for Excellence in Journalism. We're talking about their latest survey of how people use news media and what the economic implications are for the existence and the future of news. And we're taking your phone calls now and your online posts about how your digital life is changing your news consumption. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And we'll start with Maria in Westchester. You're on WNYC. Hi, Maria.
Yeah, hi there, Brian. I'm really glad you asked the question. I am such a news junkie, though. I am getting news and have been ever since I got my iPhone, the original iPhone, several years back. And back then, it was just kind of going to the New York Times site. But since then, I mean, I have news on all the time from all kinds of places. I'm really probably sick in how much news I consume. But I have an iPhone, I've got an iPad, I've got my computer. I'm on pretty much all of those things all the time. And whereas I used to go to, you know, the Times site, and I do get alerts from the Times and I get alerts from the Washington Post, you know, subscribing to various newsletters that they publish, I have to say I use a lot of the aggregators as well. Among the best of them, I think, is Zeit, which I'm on fanatically.
That's Zeit as in Zeitgeist.
And yeah, kind of.
What do they do? Like, because some of the listeners now, I think you had them until then, and then they said aggregators,
huh? Yeah.
So explain Zeist as you use it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's Zeit. A clever kind of a thing. It's really sending out its tentacles across the web and pulling in news from a lot of different sources, and I'm sure that's just a programming feature. You know, get me this and this and this.
Do you program it? Do you say, interested in this, this, and this?
Yes. When you sign up for an account, you are asked to indicate the areas that you want information in, and I think that's a phenomenal advantage to these kinds of services, because instead of, you know, a lot of folks would buy the paper but only read the sports section. Here you get to just read the sports section if that's what you want, or if you're really interested in politics or in a whole array of things. So you set it up that way, and then, you know, you get that feed. You can choose or not choose to do that, to
read
it.
And if you're such a voracious news junkie, why do you think that is? What do you use this for? Is it just because you're curious and engaged with the world and you care about what happens? Is it because you apply it in your business? What makes you such a news junkie, do you think?
You know, there's probably a lot of different reasons for that, but it's a combination of what I do for my business and other kinds of activities that I'm involved with. And some of them are political, but also in my business. I mean, my role has been as a research analyst, so if you're in research, you need to know how to use these tools.
There you go.
So that is one. But I have to say that having gotten used to this, I now almost demand it. I expect to be able to get information from a whole variety of places, and it's very gratifying to be able to do that. I will say that your caller was speaking about, you know, some of the different ways that people are using stuff, but I have to say I'm not really going deeply into any one news outlet. I used to pick up the Times and read the thing cover to cover.
Yes.
And what I find is that when I look at the physical newspaper, I don't know why, but, you know, if I have one at Starbucks or wherever and I'm looking, I read a lot more of the content of what's in the paper than if I'm using my digital version or getting news that way.
Yeah, it's more prone to graze with. Maria, thank you very much. And yet, Amy Mitchell, Jeb from Greenpoint writes on our website, for long-form journalism in the Times, New Yorker, et cetera, I still need a desktop or a laptop or a tablet. In other words, he's not consuming long form on his phone. But you found in your survey that the current technology boom, mostly phones and tablets like the iPad, have actually been good for long-form journalism. Explain that.
Well, what we particularly saw that for was the tablet computer, that when we asked specifically about how people are getting news and the kind of news that they're getting on their tablet, we found people saying that they are reading longer articles, more long articles than they read before they had their tablet. And they're coming across things that they weren't expecting to read, that they weren't originally looking for. So that idea of the serendipity of news that the other woman was speaking about, as you're flipping through the newspaper, there's kind of on the tablet, almost going back to sort of a lean back experience of news, of taking it in, of deciding you're going to sit back and enjoy this reading experience, which is different than the smartphone. And so whether that long form reading ends up translating to be an enjoyable experience on the smartphone has yet to be seen. For the most part, people have not seemed to enjoy the reading experience on a laptop or desktop computer.
It shows, again, how the medium is the message. And if the desktop does intend to hold our attention for long form reading, or the laptop or the phone, and all of a sudden there are these tablets, which people, you know, obviously are using for long-form things like books on the Kindle. And the iPad winds up facilitating long-form. We see apps like Long-Form itself, right? The one called Long-Form. They have an online presence where they curate and deliver long-form pieces of journalism. And it syncs for consumption with the mobile devices. So even though it lives online, most of the people actually read long-form journalism from the site Long-Form, longform.org, on their tablets. And it's just such a fascinating example of if a few years ago everybody was decrying how in-depth people were not reading, well, now maybe the curve is coming around again, you think?
Well, exactly. And it's also one of the reasons why people have talked about the tablet as you know, really offering a lot of potential for the magazine industry to have a bit of a resurgence. They never really found their place on the desktop laptop era because of this exact issue of the long form reading and being too late to, you know, be able to be in the daily mix of that immediate news. People were getting in their search mode of you know, what's happening exactly right now. But on the tablet, it's a different experience and opens up new opportunities.
And long form aggregates longer articles that they consider important from various news organizations that actually do the reporting. Wick in Bridgewater, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Wick.
Hi, good morning. My story is actually good news from the New York Times because I never subscribed to the paper edition. I would come across it occasionally in a coffee shop. But I hated the idea of having all that paper stack up in my house. And even though I recycled, I never knew what to throw away because I was always convinced there was a story somewhere there that I was throwing out that I hadn't read. Now I get the New York Times. I have a new iPad where it looks just gorgeous. You get beautiful pictures. And, you know, the stories are very easy to read and it's easy to pick and choose. So I now subscribe to the tablet edition of the New York Times. I also subscribe, because I'm a subscriber to the New Yorker print edition, I get the tablet edition for free, which is very nice.
Wick, thank you very much. And Wick is an example, I guess, of why there's a little news from the Times that, Amy, I don't know if you've heard this yet, beginning in April, non-subscribing visitors to nytimes.com will be able to access only 10 free articles each month instead of the current 20 before they hit the paywall. And if they're making that change, I guess it means that their latest experiment with a paywall must be a success. They must be finding that people are willing to pay to get past 20 articles. And so they say, well, what the heck, we'll make it 10.
Yeah, they now say that they have close to 400,000 subscribers to their metered model. So the New York Times has definitely seen some success there. Whether that translates to opportunities for local papers at the local levels remains to be seen. There are some 150 publications now that have moved to some kind of digital subscription model, and 100 or so more that are expected to do so in the coming months. So that's something that we'll be watching closely.
Let's see. We've had a couple of iPhone, iPad devotees. Here's Jared in New Brunswick, who swears by his Droid. Right, Jared?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure. So you have an Android phone?
Yeah, I have an Android phone. I have the original Motorola Droid. I'm almost a caveman now. And I use it. Android has an awesome news and weather app. I guess you can say that I am the outlier, according to the polls, because I use basically only news aggregates. And this news and weather app, you can just type in any word or any phrase. It searches Google News, and it brings up any article with that phrase or with that word, and it's amazing. I love it. And besides that, the only direct news source that I use actually on my phone as well is the NPR app, and I use that. I listen to your show when I'm at my house with the NPR app, and sometimes when I'm in my car and there's nothing else good on NPR, I actually plug my phone into the car and listen and find a show on the NPR app and listen to it through my car.
Uh-huh. Sure. And you know, WNYC has its own separate app from the network, NPR, so you can download that too. And, you know,
I did not know that. I'm going to have to look at it.
Some different capabilities. But it sounds like you get your news largely by what you decide to search. Is that right? So how do you decide what to search?
Well, that's actually the thing about the news aggregates, especially when you're putting in your own topics, is that you do get a very narrow amount of you get a very narrow topic of news. So I'll type in things that are interesting to me. Like I'll type in just the word science just to see if anything comes up, or just my alma mater. I'll type in Rutgers and I'll get news from those sources. But I would say that the NPR app is where I get a lot of the random out there news that I wouldn't normally hear.
Decide what to go deeper into. All right, we'll do. Go ahead, Amy.
Well, I was just going to say, he raises an interesting point, and much of what we've seen over the last several years is our consumers becoming very comfortable getting news in different ways, using different platforms, and deciding for themselves what kind of news they want to use each source for, each platform for, and now we're getting to the stage of, do you want to use an aggregator for this, or is this something that you want to go to your, you know, one of the few trusted news places that you turn to on a regular basis? So consumers becoming very educated, if you will, about their news habits.
And just as a note to Jared and others with Android phones, the WNYC app is currently just available for iPhone and iPad, but coming soon for Droid. And we leave it there with Amy Mitchell, Deputy Director of the Pew Center's Project for Excellence in Journalism. Their new survey just out on how people's news consumption habits are changing with the current digital technology. Fascinating calls. Thanks to all of you for reporting in. And Amy Mitchell, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a call-in for parents on how you're being asked to pay out of pocket for public school budget cuts. And we'll talk to our education reporter, Beth Fertig, and a reporter for The Times. Maybe you saw that article in the Metropolitan section on Sunday about this. Stay with us.